such a wonderful song for the book of Revelation. And I hope you have your papers with you. We are also your Bible in the book of Revelation. A lot of scripture is typed in the paper because I will use the Greek manuscript called the Textus Receptus as an accepted one and some modifications. And from time to time, very little, but from time to time, the English will be a little different than your regular King James Bible. Let's pray that God will guide us tonight, all right? Heavenly Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word tonight. And let the Spirit of God show us your way or what you want to say to us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. For those who are at home, I'm very sorry I finished this outline and get the correct outline by the editor late on Saturday. So otherwise I will try to paste this in the internet before Sunday. We'll see, Brother Greg, if we can do that or not, so that you are able to see what we do. This is the book of Revelation, and I use the scriptures on verses 1 to 3, and I use my words so that the Bible will answer the questions that you have. Very different of any other study. Here is a word, and here is the word of God as an answer. Here it is. What is the title of the book of Revelation? Now, my Bible here said, the revelation to John. Some Bible says, the revelation of John. What the scripture says in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here is the title of the book that God gave to the book. God said the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you really want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you really want to know him from the cross to glory, there is only one book that you study, the book of Revelation. And then, in verse 2 and 3 said, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and sanctified it by his angel unto his servant, John. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is the title. John is the man that God is going to use to write the book. And I want to get ahead of you and tell you this. If you look to commentaries and you look to things, they are the argument that this John is not the John of the Gospels and so on. I will not listen to any commentary. I want to let the flow of the scripture come through, and you by your own self will have to make the choice as you see the parallels of John's writings in the Gospel and the writings in the book of Revelation. Mistakenly, the world has said to the Gentiles, if you really want to have an easy gospel, read the gospel of John. That's a mistake, because the gospel of John is a Jewish gospel. The gospel of John talks about the Lamb of God. What do we know, Gentiles, about the Lamb of God? All right. The Gospel of John talks about the tabernacle. The Gospel of John talks about the feast and so on. We know nothing about that. And so it is a Jewish gospel. And so the book of Revelation, it is a Jewish book as well. So here is the title, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you really, I may say it again, if you really want to know Christ, you read the book of Revelation. Then is given to John, and the Bible said, who bear record, in verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. And now comes the blessing. And what is the blessing? Now listen, read it carefully. I want to read it very carefully because some people mistake the blessing. Look at the blessing. Blessed is he that readeth. I'm going to put between parentheses for those who cannot read or listen today. I'm going to put this in today's era, in the year 2009. And you can listen on a CD, you can listen on your computer, you can listen in a tape, you can listen in MP3 or whatever things you use, you can listen. It's equal to reading, okay? So, blessed is he that readeth or listen, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Why? Here's the emphasis. For the time is at hand. So here is my comment on this extraordinary and remarkable opening of the book of Revelation. The title of the book describes its character. When you look, have you gone into a library and then you look the titles of the book? I love to go to bookstores. And you go to different categories of books, and each book describes the character of what is said. So the title of the book describes its character. It is not the revelation of St. John the Divine like the Roman Catholic Bible have. The revelation of St. John of the Divine, but it is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have to, through the book, to give you a lot of grammar information relating to the original language. Now, the word revelation in the Greek language in which John wrote is apocalypsis. As a matter of fact, the any other language except the language of English, even the Saxon language before English, do not call the book of Revelation, Revelation. They call apocalypsis. All right? So, the word revelation is the Greek word apocalypsis. Hence the title, The Apocalypse, by which is often really called in the scripture. Now, the word apocalypsis is from the verb apokalypto. Any verb in Greek is name on the third person singular, not like in English that you said to eat. There is no to eat. There is the name of the verb is the third person singular of the present active indicative. That you have to understand it. All right. So it is from the verb apokalypto, and the third person always ends in omega, which means to unveil. Now listen carefully to this because this will help you to understand the word apocalypse. It means to unveil from apo, which means away from, and kalumna, which is a veil. Away from the veil. Hence, apocalypsis means a taking away of a veil, as when a statue is unveiled that what is behind the veil may be seen. It is important to understand the apocalypse is going to take a veil out of who? Of Jesus. So that you can see it. It is not so much a revelation or unveiling of the person of Christ, though it discloses his high priestly and kingly glory, as it is the unveiling of those events that shall precede and accompany his return to the earth. So what you're going to learn in Apocalypse is not so much about who Christ is, talks about Jesus as a priest and talk about Jesus as a king. You're going to learn the steps that is going to happen in this world before his coming. This is seen from the fact that what is revealed in the book was given unto Jesus Christ by God the Father to show unto his servant the things which must surely come to pass, according to verse 1. Is that right? He said, I want to tell you the thing that surely must come to pass. And I want to say this extracurriculum because you don't know the material. I spent 5 months on verse 1-3. All the material that I read. And it's vainless to tell you. But it's let me tell you that this book was in the hands of the disciples of John in the year 180. When people say that this book was approved in the year 445, that's what the Catholic Church wants us to learn. But this book was in the hands of the disciples of John in the year 180. And so, therefore, it is a real revelation. Now, when Jesus was asked just before his death, when the things that he had prophesied against Jerusalem should come to pass. You remember in Mark, let's go to Mark Gospel, chapter 1 and verses 1-3. You go to with me to Mark Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 1-3, when Jesus then had been asked about this at Mark Gospel in chapter 13, verse 1 said, "And as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately." See, they asked him the question to Jesus. When this is going to happen? The answer Jesus gave them is, the reply is in verse 32. Look at the same chapter in verse 32. "But all the day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." So, after his ascension, he received from the Father the information that the disciples asked for. I believe with all my heart, at the moment that he said that, he said the truth. Once he became in the glory of God again, he received the information from the Father. And before the close of the first century, while at least one of those disciples of his was still living, the beloved John, as we know it, he sent an angel messenger to impart him and through him to the churches the information that is unveiled in this book of Revelation. Thus we see that the canon of the scripture should really, would be complete, incomplete without the message from Jesus to his church after his return to heaven. So the canon cannot be closed at the year 70, like some people said, have to be long enough for the book of Revelation to include it. While the apostle John is the writer of the book, he's not the author or composer. I say it again so that you listen carefully. While the Apostle John is the writer of the book, he's not the author or the composer of the book. The author was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The apostle was only, as we know in the Old Testament, a scribe. Twice he declared that the contents of the book were revealed to him by an angel. Look at it in chapter 1, verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must surely come to pass, as he sent and signified by his angel and to John the servant." Now, if you go to the very end of Revelation, it's amazing that that information is at the beginning. And if you go to Revelation chapter 22, at the very end of Revelation, in Revelation 22 and verse 8, at the very end of Revelation, the Bible said, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." So no way, at the very beginning, and at the very end, the Bible covered the fact that this is not the writings of John. It is the gift God gave to John to write. The fact that the style of the book differs so strikingly from the other writings of John as the Gospel and the Epistles is the strongest kind of evidence that John did not compose the book, but it was dictated or visualized to him, because part of the book is a dictation and part of the book is a vision on the sky. All right. In its subject matter and in the majesty and sublimity of its language, which is in harmony with its content, the book of Revelation differs from all other books and is incomparably above any book of the Bible, thus revealing its divine authorship. In fact, it is the only portion of the New Testament to which Jesus gave his endorsement and affixed his signature, saying at the close, "I, Jesus, has sent my angel to testify unto thee things into the church." The very verse 16 in chapter 22, Jesus put his signature that he is the revealer of this particular book. Now, the book of Revelation, and in the introduction you have to understand all of this so that you understand the interpretation. The book of Revelation then is not a compilation of Jewish apocalyptic literature. If you go to the library and you pick up a book on the book of Revelation from an unbeliever author, the author will say, Lewis, an author from the last century in America, said that the book of Revelation is an apocalyptic literature of the Jewish people. No, so. And they say it's intermixed with a heathen vision Christianized, thus being a patchwork of Jewish and heathen folklore, they said, but it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must surely come to pass. Don't take any advice from any book that you read about what is the book of Revelation, because then your mind is set and then you cannot analyze the book properly. Now remember this, God the Father gave to Jesus, Jesus gave it to John, John gave it to the church. That's it. Whatever you read outside that is a lie. This he sent his angel, who this angel was, you know, I look in the whole book over and over. Who's the angel? We are not told. But when John fell down to worship him, he said, "See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant," and that's in Revelation 22, verses 8 to 9. "I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren, the prophet, and of them which keep the saying of this book." In other words, was not Jesus himself the messenger? See, he said, "I'm your fellow servant." Who was it? Some people say it was a prophet. Some people, because Jesus mentioned Elijah many times, some people believe, as you read about books on the 16th century, 17th century, 18th century, the people believe it was Elijah, but it was a fellow servant. So he must, therefore, have been one of the old prophets raised for that particular purpose. And we know there was only one purpose to God, who was promised to be raised, to be used, and that's Elijah. But we are not sure. Now, the book is a prophetic book. It is not a history book. So you read the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is what? It's history. Is that right? This happened here, this happened here, this happened here. You read the book of Revelation, it's prophecy. Nothing happened yet. All right? It does not record the past in the book of Revelation. There is no tenses of the verb in the past tense. They're all in the future tense, but reveals the future of the book of Revelation. It makes this claim in the title, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of these prophecies," in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. And four times in the concluding chapter, Revelation 22, 7, Revelation 22, 10, Revelation 22, 18, and Revelation 22, in verse 19, four times, That is emphasized. It is not past. It is not past. It is future. It is the summing up and consummation of all prophecy. When we have the book of Revelation, all the prophecies of the Old Testament are together fulfilled in that book. So when people said, do you know if all the prophecies are fulfilled? Well, read the book of Revelation, that will tell you. In it, all unfulfilled prophecy is fulfilled. In other words, nothing is left untouched. It is the finality in prophecy until Jesus come back. There has been no new revelation since it was written. And all those who claim to have received new and later revelation are imposters and false prophets. There is no place for addition or subtraction in the book. It opens with a blessing promised to the reader and ends with a curse upon those who add or take from it. And you can look that in Revelation 1:3, Revelation 22, verse 18 to 19. And so nobody can manipulate the book of Revelation and tell you, I know all the things. You can't believe it, what I read. In the 1800s, almost three or four preachers from Pennsylvania said the date of the Lord on the basis of the book of Revelation. I hope that no one here in the class will say, oh, now that you taught the book, we know the date. I hope that that's important, because there is not taught. Nothing is said about understanding the book. I also want to tell you that. Some people told me, well, if I read the book of Revelation, I understand it. I tell you, if you're an unbeliever, you can read any book of the Bible, you will not understand it. Not only Revelation. It is, nothing is said about understanding the book, but blessed is he that what? Look in verse 1. Blessed is he that read it. See? Or if too illiterate to read, blessed are they that hear, I will say. That is, listen to its reading. The reference here is doubtless to the reader and hearers. In other words, the blessing is to the one who readeth of the scripture as read in the synagogue in the apostles' day. You can tell you this is a Jewish book, because what do you do when you go to a synagogue? Ask Camille. You sit down and the rabbi will come in and read the scripture. Remember Jesus when he went to the synagogue? They were reading the scripture and they say, anybody has something to say? And Jesus says, yes, I do. And he read the entire book of Isaiah. Boy, they don't went for 1 hour and 5 minutes to the synagogue. Jesus, give me the scroll. And they read the whole book of Isaiah. Try it yourself. See the one child. Go on and read. And then at the end, remember what he said? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes, and almost kill him. So that's why here is that the book is the reading is the blessing, and the Jewish people know it. The reference here is then to the reading of the scripture as people did in the synagogue. That the book should be shunned by many because of this mysterious character is no wonder. It is one of the devices of Satan to get people to neglect a book that foretells his casting as a prince of the power of the air. The book of Revelation said Satan is going to go, and Satan don't want you to read it. It's too difficult, so that you don't know why and when Satan is going to be placed away. It is amazing. While Satan hates all scripture in general, he hates two books in the Bible. And Pastor Greg knows the first book, Genesis. Satan hates Genesis and Revelation in particular. Therefore, he attacks the authenticity of the book of Genesis. People are saying, believers are telling me, well, I believe in evolution and I believe in creation. You can. They are not compatible. Well, so how do you explain? Don't explain anything. What the Bible said? Believe. Thank you, brother. And so, The authenticity of Genesis is attacked and seek to have revelation neglected. Satan said, well, you know, there are many symbols and there are many things you will not understand. Please do not read it, because you're going to know about Satan when it's going to be really cast out and put in jail. And you're going to know that this beautiful world in which we live, that the terrible situation is going to happen in this world. The book is not only a prophetic book, it is a symbolic book. That's true. That is, it is written largely in symbolic language. That is the meaning of the statement in the title, He Sent and Signified. Remember what we read today in chapter 1? It said, he sent and signified it by the angel unto his servant John. Now, the word signify means given a sign and a symbol, and should be pronounced sign-nify. That's the way. There are more signs and symbols in the book of Revelation than in any other book in the Bible. John in chapter 20 and 30, 31 said there are many signs in this book. But you look in the book of John and there are only 7 signs. But in this book, it's unlimited. Unlimited. No one can understand the book of Revelation who does not understand the book of Daniel. That's another important factor. And that's when you read the book of Revelation, you read the book of Daniel as your background. All right? The prophet Daniel was told to seal up the words of the prophecy until the time of the end, not the end time. Seal the book, God said. Daniel was asking questions. You know, Daniel was a good engineer. He was asking questions. And God said, well, this guy is very close to know. So you know what God did? He said, seal the book. Daniel chapter 12. Seal the book. Now, it's very important that you got it. Until the time of the end, not the end time. But the end of the times of the Gentiles. That's what Daniel did, chapter 12, verse 4 to 9. But the writer of the book of Revelation was told to seal not the saying of the book, for the time is at hand, said Revelation 22:10. And so in the book of Revelation, you're going to know anything that you do not know in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the knowledge is very limited because God don't want the people to know what he's going to do. So much that you read the book of Daniel and the Jew never believe in the prophet and the Messiah. But you read the book of Revelation and you not only read the end time of the Gentiles, you read the end time of the Jew, you read the end time of everything. Everything ends in the book of Revelation. The symbolism of the book of Revelation shows that it was written for a special class, for those who are acquainted with the Word of God and who have a spiritual discernment, and not for the carnally minded reader. Those who question everything they have, and they have no spiritual meaning. The secret things belong, remember Deuteronomy 29:29. Somebody asked me this question long time ago, 15 years ago. Why God will not reveal to me the day? In Deuteronomy 29:29 said this, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever. And so don't try to smart God. That is the important part. Now, it begins the last prophecy. We naturally will expect it to sum up all the previous prophecies. And as all previous prophecies had to do with the church and Israel and the nations, so we should expect the last prophecy to give us a final word as to all these three kinds of people. And that is what it does. We find the church in the beginning, chapter 2 and 3. We find Israel in the middle of the book. And then we find the nations at the very end of the book. These three are also seen in the construction of the holy city, the New Jerusalem, where we have the church is the foundation of the holy city, chapter 21, represented by the names of the 12 apostles. And we have Israel's in the gate with the name of the 12 tribes written on them. And the saved nations in the street where they walk in the light of God's glory. So nothing in this world will escape the hand of God. You know, I thought nothing will escape the hand of God. God will put the hand in the church. God will put the hand in Israel. God will put the hand in every nation of the world. Nothing is left. The book is largely Jewish, as I said before. This is seen in its signs and symbols, such as the tabernacle, the ark, the altar, the trumpet, the plagues, and the sealing of the 144,000 of Israel. So you see that the book is strictly a Jewish book. It is the book of consummation. And its proper place in the sacred canon is where it is placed, at the end of the Bible. Who put it there? A man by the name Mark Tutore, a pastor in Rome. He located the book from the middle, who was established for 400 years, to the end, because it takes the end. The book is full of action. Earth and heavens are brought to cry together. The clouds roll away. Thrones, elders, and angelic forms are seen. Harp, trumpet, cries from disembodied souls, and choruses of songs are heard. Earth touches heaven, and alas, it touches hell also. Good and evil meet together in the book of Revelation. There is no blending, but sharp contrast, and a long protracted conflict that ends in victory for the good, and the beast and the false prophet and Satan and his host and death and Hades find their place in the lake of fire. It describes the culmination of the evils foreseen and described in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, if you want to see what is going on in the world, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, Jude verse 14 to 19. And declares the consummation of that which the prophets foretold, the creation of a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness shall dwell. And that fulfilled Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17. Alas, the patience of the patriarchs and saints is rewarded. The longing of faith and the hope of Israel and the church fulfilled. And the glory of God shines and hindered on in a scene of righteousness and peace. The Bible begins with paradise lost and closes with this, paradise regained. So it's going to be a book that it is well information for the believers. We, the believers, are going to get informed of the end of times. We will never know the end of time, the date and the hour and so on. But we know what happens. So when tomorrow morning you pick up the Mercury, or you turn the computer to the New York Times of your BlackBerry, and something happened, and chaos are in the street, and so on, then you can put together the climate. There's a weight this world. But again, our hope is not here, is that right? Our hope is in that new heaven and new Jerusalem. You will see that as Lot was not touched on the crisis of Sodom and Gomorrah, we will not be touched by the crisis of this world if we are believers.